It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, as this episode of Dome and Domer brought to you by FamGenix. Your family, your health, connect what matters. Download the app from the App Store. You like how I snuck that in, Ed? I didn't even bother telling you. And it's not like they're paying us any money. We're getting absolutely $0 from these guys.
At least everybody knows where you work now.
But yeah, we finally released the app. It took me almost over a year to do it, and it's out there. So I thought I'd squeeze in my little bit. Being that we make a, you know, total partry of, I think, $100 a year doing this show, and it cost us like $100 to host the website.
So we really should probably be paying each of our listeners $100 a year.
Yeah. So, Ed, I'm kind of curious. I really feel like college football has changed quite a bit just in the last 2 years. And, you always look at the bowl game as a culmination of the season and then what kind of leads you into next year as to where things go with your football program and all that. And I don't know. I just don't get that anymore. And my point is this. Everything has changed because of the playoff system now. And I'll just give you one example, Alabama. How many guys do you think are going to sit out that game knowing that it means absolutely nothing and they're looking at a first or second round draft pick? The game is completely now upended as a result of that. And so I don't know that you can put as much pressure or as much evaluation on the bowl game at the end of the season as to where everything ends up for next year.
Yeah, well, that's going to make it even all the better when they beat Michigan.
with
half of their guys sitting out. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't actually seen who's sitting out for them. But you're right, it has changed things. I mean, I'm sure I'm in the minority, but I'm always been a sort of an anti-playoff guy. Like, I really liked the old bowl system setup, and I liked the controversy at the end, and I liked the voting and all the talk that went into it. And I think, you know, I'll be disappointed if they expand it to 8 teams from 4. I think it'll just create another, you know, mess. But I liked it when, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 were in the Pacific 12 or whatever it is, were in the Rose Bowl every year, and I liked it. And again, that just may not be possible anymore. But you're right, it does change things. And, you know, in the Camping World Bowl, you got 2 teams really without first-round talent, or maybe not without first-round talent, but without people who are projected in the first round. So everybody's playing. So the game that we're most interested in is really not sort of impacted by what you're talking about. But yeah, it definitely changes things. And listen, I think bowl games are great. I think that time between the Saturday after Thanksgiving, or maybe that time from between the Army Navy game and the first bowl game, you know, is now only a few days, and then it goes all the way through almost mid January or to the, you know, to the final playoff game. But you know, you have bowl seasons that have a lot of good games. You have bowl seasons that are kind of clunkers. But I don't know. I can't get enough of college football. So, but you do want to see the best players in the games that you watch, and when they're sitting, just because of the because of the change climate, I think that is a little bit of a shame. But from a player's perspective, I completely understand it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just think it's kind of muddied the situation, and it's not just the players. I mean, it's the coaching as well. I mean, look at what Notre Dame's up against right now. Chip Long is not going to be there. So here you have the guy that orchestrated the offense the entire season and has been an integral part of the success of Notre Dame going 10-2, is now not going to be at the game at all. And so, you know, I don't know. It's really difficult to kind of wrap all this together and put it together in terms of how do we evaluate Notre Dame. I almost think it makes it so much harder to say that what happens this Saturday is a staple on the season. I'm not there. I just don't see it. I think now everything's kind of complicated and the evaluation is much more difficult now in terms of, you know, where this team is at and what ends up happening on Saturday. Look, I mean, Iowa State is not who I wanted to play. I mean, I think we all can agree as Notre Dame fans, this is a little bit of a letdown. It would have been nice to get to a New Year's Day 6 bowl, but I don't know. Part of me says, do we really want to be in the Cotton Bowl playing Memphis? You know, like, what good does that do us? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just tough being in the situation that the bowl game now I don't think carries the weight as the culmination of the end of the season that dictates where you go for projecting into 2020. I think now all of a sudden it's somewhat of a letdown. And I don't know that it really truly matters all that much what happens this Saturday. I'd hate to see us lose. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But my point is, I'm not so sure that a win really propels us beyond what we'd hope for in terms of evaluating where we head in 2020.
Yeah, no, probably not. I mean, you know, players, college students in general have a pretty short memory. I mean, I don't think there's any real empirical evidence that, you know, winning your bowl game has a huge impact on the following season. You know, there's seasons that we've ended with a bowl game win that have, you know, resulted in, you know, garbage the next fall. And there's, you know, the opposite is true as well, except the very simple point that it's always better to win. And, you know, it sort of sustains the momentum that Notre Dame built during the month of November. It gives you a little lift off into spring practice and weight training with Matt Bayless and those types of things. You know, I don't know. I will say that the point that you're making is that we don't really know what we're going to see on Saturday. But I think what Notre Dame's playing for is, I mean, I haven't really kind of looked at it closely, but I think if they win, you know, there's a pretty good chance that they'll finish the season in the top 10. And I think that always sounds a little bit better than finishing somewhere between 13 and 18. So I think, you know, if they could win, you know, cover the spread, look pretty good doing it, I think they'll, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance they can finish 9th or 10th. And that will be a successful season, 11-2, and it sort of sets the table for high expectations going into next year. So, you know, there's definitely something to play for, but again, they're college kids. They've had, it's a pretty compressed time period. You know, they just finished exams 2 weeks ago. It's not this, I really am curious to hear, you know, you always hear, well, teams want to play in a bowl game because of all the extra practices. Well, with exams and then with this sort of compressed, this kind of relatively early date of December 28th, I mean, I really wonder, like, how much extra practice did the Notre Dame football team really get because of this bowl invitation, right? I mean, it's, you know, is it really any more than just a bye week schedule kind of thing? So, but I think the absence of Chip Long is what makes this an interesting game. The great thing about Notre Dame football is there's always a little bit of drama. There's always a story. There's always an angle. And seeing how the offense plays, although I don't think they're the key to this game, to tell you the truth, will be the storyline and a really good one. You know, even his statements to the contrary, it can't help but affect Brian Kelly's decision-making a little bit in terms of what he does in terms of hiring the next coach on the offensive side of the ball after this game.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a ton of storylines in this game because I think you're right. It does affect his decision-making in terms of what he ends up doing based on what happens in this game. Because I'm sure that, look, I don't think it's anybody's big, huge guess here, but Tommy Rees has an opportunity here to shine if he has as much of a say as we think he might. But I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Kelly does moving forward. I kind of think that, you know, the there's several things that you said that I want to touch on really quick because I think you're dead on with this. You know, the idea that Notre Dame always has some sort of drama, right? And Brian Kelly in 2016 did a reboot Everybody knows it. We all saw what happened in the 4-8 season. And since that reboot, he's been incredibly successful. Has been up to par with what we absolutely hoped he would be. And he's definitely pulled it off all the way up to this point. Now he's got a situation where he's got a little bit of adversity facing him. And, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how he approaches this. I think you're right. I think the onus of what Notre Dame does this Saturday is really on the defensive side of the ball, because that's where we are solid. That's what our strength is. We've got a very unique unit that is capable of causing disruption. We've done it all year long. And I don't know so much that the offense dictates whether we win or not. I think you're right. I think it is the defense. However, having said that, if Kelly is over to overcome the situation that he's in, which is, okay, your offensive coordinator is gone. He's completely not available for this game. And, you know, it's interesting because Coffey texted, you know, he wasn't able to do the show tonight, but he did text, hey, I don't like what we're up against. I don't like the idea of this offensive coordination by committee. It's not going to work. He actually predicts we're going to lose 24-20. And I think in terms of that, the 24 is the defensive side of the ball. And that's where I think you're right. I think if somehow Notre Dame comes out and plays their what they're capable of on the defensive side of the ball, I think we can win the game, because I do think we're capable of holding Iowa State to 20 points or less. I think that's totally doable with this, with the defensive talent that we have and what we're up against. I think that in light of that, can we scratch together 24, 28 points? Yeah, I think we can. I think we got that kind of talent. And but it is going to be, I think from that standpoint, it's going to be really intriguing to see what happens with this approach that we take on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I mean, I think it's also a coin flip on whether, the collaboration approach for the offense on Saturday is a negative, or whether there's really, you know, some addition by subtraction. I mean, given the stories around what the issues were with Chip Long, you might see Ian Book's best game of the year. He may feel kind of a thumb off of his back of his neck, and he may play, you know, free and easy and whip it around and look as good as he has all year. You know, who knows? Or they might look discombobulated and look like they did not have a steady hand at the control. But listen, Notre Dame football has kind of come to a place which I think is pretty easy to analyze, right? It's a place where for three seasons now, Notre Dame has beat the teams that it's supposed to beat and lost the big games. And the reason that, and that's, to me, there's progress there. The next step is to, you know, do the same thing next year, but beat Wisconsin, beat Clemson, or challenge them, and look like they belong in the same field with them. I mean, you know, it's the program's in good shape. A sign of backsliding would be to lose to a team like Iowa State, you know, to lose to a BC or a Pitt or a Virginia or, you know, et cetera, you know, Louisville next year on the schedule, or a USC team that's down, or a Stanford team that seems to be imploding, a program that seems to be messed up a little bit right now. So I think it's pretty clear what we've got. You know, Clark Lee did not have a good game against Michigan. You know, it wasn't just the offense that was impotent. You know, the defense played poorly against Michigan and got gashed. We'll see. We'll see how seriously they take it. It seems like a team that likes to play. Obviously, they did not fold up after their season basically was washed out of the Big House by all the rain and the Wolverines. So, I think that they'll, I think, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Mike Coffey. I think I'll go against the grain here and say Iowa State has not been blown out in a game all year. They played very close games against some really good competition. You know, I think Notre Dame can make a statement and win by a couple touchdowns. And if they do, they'll finish the season in the top 10. They'll have some nice momentum going into next year. And I think they'll recommit themselves to playing better in the big games that really matter. And that's a pretty darn good place for a football program to be.
Yeah, no, I think that more than anything, that's the, as a Notre Dame fan, it's the thing that excites us the most at this moment, is that, you know, like you said, we haven't won the big game, but boy, I was there at that Georgia game. I was in the stadium. We had the ball inside the 50 with plenty of time to score, and that game could have easily ended up as a W, easily. And so, granted, we can all sit here and debate what happened in Michigan and whether it was a culmination of a lot of things. I do absolutely believe that the weather had a huge impact on the game. But having said that, I mean, unfortunately, we did get blown out. That game was not a close game. It's not. I don't think it's indicative of where this program is at. But I'm with you. I think a win on Saturday puts us in the top 10. That's 3 years in a row. 2017, 2018, 2019. All 3 years end in a positive note with us in the hunt for that top 10 position. And there it becomes, like you say, for next season, you know, I really think that the Wisconsin game is going to be a must-win for us in terms of a program moving forward. Clemson's going to be a tough – they probably – you could argue – I kind of think they're going to come in undefeated on a 30-game win streak, to be honest with you.
I think people
are underestimating Clemson. They are a damn good football team.
If you are a Notre Dame fan, you, I believe, should be rooting for Clemson here in the next this Saturday, as well as 2 weeks from then or 10 days from then, whenever they play in the final game if they win. You know, I mean, why wouldn't you want Notre Dame to come into Notre Dame Stadium with, like you said, Mike, a 30-plus game winning streak, a couple of back-to-back national championships, and a potential first-round draft pick, playing quarterback. I mean, that's a Notre Dame moment, right? That's the thing that's really missing from Brian Kelly's resume. You know, like we've talked about it before, what Digger used to call a Notre Dame moment. You know, if Ian Book throws a last 15 to 20 second touchdown pass against Georgia, Notre Dame wins 24-23, that's a Notre Dame moment. That's something that really hasn't happened during Brian Kelly's tenure. Just about everything else has. We've seen it all with him, highs and lows and everything in between. But those sort of singular, sort of memorable victories, either home or away, have been, have happened, but they've been against lesser opponents. They haven't been in big games with something really big on the line. So, fell a little short at Clemson. Obviously didn't play well in the two, playoff, championship games. Kind of threw up all over themselves on the road at Michigan this year, so those are the things that stick in people's craw. Those are the things, unfortunately, that we dwell on. But if you're dwelling on things and going 11-2, then that means that you really have created a standard of, it's win a national championship. That's what we're here to, and I think that Notre Dame is one of those few teams in the country that does have that door ajar for them to enter into that really elite circle that's really only now inhabited by, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, and I guess, Oklahoma. Those are sort of the big guns, and Notre Dame's knocking on that door. And, I think one way to continue to show that you sort of belong as a potential entry into that select group is to beat the crap out of Iowa State on Saturday. And, by the transitive property, I think Iowa State, didn't they lose by a point or two to Oklahoma? Oklahoma's in the playoff. I think Oklahoma will get drilled in the playoff. But, you take what you can get when you sort of stumble when you had your chance. And give Notre Dame and Brian Kelly a heck of a lot of credit for the way they played in November, for the way they righted the ship after a really, really, really disappointing loss. And let's see what they've got going on Saturday. The game will be at noon. It'll be a nice little prelude to the playoff games. And, I'll look for them to see if they can, run the ball. They don't have to run for 300 yards, but run effectively enough to keep Iowa State off balance and have Iowa State have to respect the run. And then on defense, see if they can cover guys in space, keep the play in front of them, avoid, if they can do the classic Clark Lee formula and avoid the chunk plays and avoid the big plays, maybe force some field goals or, and Notre Dame had great statistics for takeaways, you know, this year. Get a couple of those. You know, this team actually developed an identity. I'm not sure it's my favorite identity for a football team, but they actually had an identity by the end of the year. And I'd love to see them follow through and win this bowl game, sort of being consistent with that identity.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I'll go first in terms of projections, but, you know, I agree with you. I really do think that Notre Dame, from a program standpoint, is on very, very solid footing. And I've been guilty of second-guessing them several times this year, and they've come through each and every way to prove me wrong in terms of where they're at. And I kind of think they will continue with that on Saturday. I really do. I think Brian Kelly's got a very firm commitment and understanding of what he's trying to do with this program, and I think the guys are bought in on it. And I think it's been evident with the kind of wins that we've had, albeit obviously the Michigan game, the outlier there this season. And again, I mean, who knows what happened? I don't, you know, the one thing we don't know is what happened from the time that they left Notre Dame and went to Michigan. Were there certain things that entered into the picture that we're not a privy to?
Yeah, that story will be told down the road, right? I mean, that might have been the beginning of the end for Chip Long, right? We don't
know. Who knows? Yeah, exactly. We don't know. And I think that's the kind of stuff that we just aren't going to find out. But I think, you know, in terms of this game against Iowa State on Saturday, there is a lot to be said from a program standpoint. I mean, Brian Kelly is fully aware of what he wants, what he's trying to achieve, where he wants to go in terms of the talent that we've got coming in. We've consistently recruited well each and every year. I mean, we're not top of the class in terms of the top five, but boy, he is consistently at number 10 and no worse than that. And that's a good sign. I mean, that's just a damn good sign in terms of the program and where it's at. And so, I think that that's what we're going to see on Saturday. I do think it's going to be a problem not having Chip Long there, because I think from the consistency standpoint and what we're used to. But I agree with you. I kind of think Notre Dame is going to establish itself. And because of where the program is at the moment and the consistency we've had all year long, I kind of think that we're going to end up seeing a 31-17 Irish win on this Saturday, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that call. I mean, I think Iowa State's going to come to play. Obviously, from some of the stories that we've read, their fans travel well. They'll be all boozed up on their Bush Light, and they'll be
natural light, I think. But anyway,
yeah, no, I think it's Bush Light. That's the story that I saw. But I mean, that's great. Listen, you know, Notre Dame better bring it. I think Brian Kelly has some motivation. You know, don't kid yourself. He reads these stories that talk about Matt Campbell as his successor. You know, that talk about Matt Campbell as a hot young coach that Notre Dame should pursue, you know, when Brian Kelly's days are over, or maybe even before then. So, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, subplots and stories here. It's, you're playing in Orlando, right? You've got Florida Press. I know Notre Dame doesn't pick guys out of Florida that much anymore, but it's still a hotbed of football. And, you know, I'm sure there's guys at IMG that Notre Dame will be recruiting, you know, there's a bunch of other Catholic high schools in Florida. There's a bunch of talent down there. It's not like they're going to ignore Florida. So go out and, you know, really impress the people. But I'll say, you know, I'm always sort of skeptical of Big 12 defenses in general. I know Iowa State has played some good defense this year, but I'll say Notre Dame wins 34-20, which is basically exactly what you're saying. I'm just picking a different score, but you got to go first. So it's a 2-touchdown win, 34-20. And, you know, the things that served Notre Dame well during the year will again, with a couple takeaways on defense, a solid kicking game, a couple field goals by Jonathan Doerr, and, you know, good coverage, no big plays. And we'll get sort of an incomplete or sort of a TBD on the offense. They'll look great at spots. They'll look, you know, not so well at other times, but they'll score right around their season average. And then we'll just kick back and wait and see what Brian Kelly does with his staff to round out the offensive staff. But I hope we're right, Mike. I hope it is a 34-20 type game. And then I think our attention will turn to the 2020 season, which, again, will be filled with promise and high expectations.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching the game. And I think the neat thing for Notre Dame is I do think they're going to pick up some exposure on this, obviously because of the playoff games that are at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I mean, you know how it is, Ed. A lot of people make it a whole day affair. Everybody is going to be tailgating, doing all the kinds of things that they want to do. And why not start the day with Notre Dame and watch a football game that, you know, will be somewhat interesting as you go into the two playoff games. So I think Notre Dame's going to pick up some exposure here as a result of that. But I agree. I mean, if there's a lot to be said for this football game, I think the key thing is going to be really interesting to see what, you know, the absence of Chip Long and what that really means and how does that affect things. Because I think the defense is going to play as they've always played. And, you know, having said that, Notre Dame should have the edge. I kind of feel like I would be surprised if it's a 3-point win or a 4-point win. I mean, it just doesn't seem right just based on everything that I've seen in the body of evidence this year. But who knows? It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, moving into next year, you know, with the guys that we signed in the early signing, all things are pointing in a positive direction. A lot of good spots that are being filled that we need in terms of talent, especially at running back. I mean, there's just, you know, a lot going on, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And let's hope that we see that Irish win this Saturday. It'd be a great finish, 11-2. Can't argue with that at all. And I think most people would be real happy. You'd be hard pressed to say it's disappointing in light of knowing what we were up against at the beginning of the season. And so from that, a lot of kudos to Brian Kelly and his staff for pulling this off, because it's a huge, huge win. And hopefully they can culminate it with the win against Iowa State on Saturday.
And now that we have a primary sponsor, we can definitely promise our listeners that we'll have a post-game show. We'll do a show next week and put a bow on the 2019 season.
Just
kind of wrap things up and either give coffee his due for being appropriately pessimistic, or lord over him with our predictions of a Notre Dame victory. So we'll see what happens.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. That'll be fun. All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.